Can I be an effective practitioner? This is the Dean, University of Healing, with Thought for Today. Can I be an effective practitioner? A lot of people are interested in being a practitioner. They want to set the world on fire. They want to make money. They want to make friends. They want to have perfect health. They want to have happy relationships. They want to have all these things. And they're all pointed in the perfect direction for F-A-I-L-U-R-E. Failure. And the reason they're pointed in the direction of failure is because they say they want it and not that they have it. The law principle responds to our word. And if I say to Ellen, "Ellen, bring me my hat," and Ellen laughs and says, and I say, "Why are you laughing at me?" She "Well, you got it on your head." "Oh, well, how about that? But I want the other hat," so I don't look foolish. You know. I say, "I want my other hat." "Well, which hat would you like?" "The one I'm not wearing." So she goes and gets the one I'm not wearing, and I switch it with the one I'm wearing, just to make myself look good, you know. Well, how often do we do that with our treatment work? How often do we do, we say, "Now, if we treat hard enough and strong enough and long enough and powerful enough, you'll get what you want. You can have anything you want. If you'll really treat with all your heart and all your might, if you will believe." You heard of that, haven't you? "If you will believe, you can have it." Well, it's not so. It's not so. Because everything already exists. Everything. And it's our privilege and our opportunity to proclaim that it's there and to reveal it with our thought and bring it forth in our life. Now, if we're going to say, "I would like to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I would like to be happy. I would like to be filled with joy. I'd like to have what Bill Gates has. I'd like to have this and that." You know, all this nonsense. It's nonsense. Because if you really would like to have it, you'd have it. "Oh, come on, Herb. I can be as rich as Bill Gates." Of course. Did Bill Gates want to be as rich as Bill Gates when he became as rich as Bill Gates? No. He was whatever Bill Gates was. And what was Bill Gates? Bill Gates was a very well-invested man. Bill Gates was not working on becoming rich. He was working on expressing his ideas and expressing his dreams and expressing his whatever. Now, Bill Gates has so much money, it's sickening. And it's sickening from the point of view now. How can I spend that? How can I use that? How can I get some good out of it, even in my lifetime? I'm going to give it to my children. You know, and am I going to help my children or am I going to ruin my children with that money, you know? Well, you help your children if you train them how to use it. Train them how to enjoy it. Train them how to go around and utilize every single penny that they have to the highest and best. Not a matter of spend it because you got it, because you'll soon not have it. You say, "Well, I got, like Bill Gates, I don't know what it is now, but let's say $40 billion, billion dollars. And Bill Gates says, "Oh, hey, you know, Canada's up for sale for $40 billion. I think I'll buy Canada." So he buys Canada for $40 billion and he's broke. He owned Canada. And true, Canada will make him money and stuff like that. But the thing is, he has no money. He took all his money and bought Canada. Well, how can he operate Canada? Well, Canada's doing pretty well as it is. And whoever got that $40 billion that he gave for the purchase of Canada is quite interesting, isn't it? Who can sell the Brooklyn Bridge? Who owns the Brooklyn Bridge? Well, Brooklyn and the city on the other side of the Brooklyn Bridge. That's New York, I believe, yeah. So Brooklyn and New York. And so they each own the Brooklyn Bridge. And the Brooklyn Bridge is now maintained by the city of New York, by the state of New York, as part of the state highway system. And so it doesn't belong to New York or to Brooklyn. It belongs to to the state. And so the state maintains it. Well, now, how are you going to sell something that the state owns? Well, now the state can sell it. Well, now, who in the state is going to have authority to do it? Well, the governor. Well, has the governor really got that authority? Who gives him the right to do that? Well, see, it gets into a whole lot of interesting stuff. Now, if you would like to be a practitioner that is a successful practitioner, you will practice what it is that you believe. And what do you believe? You believe that the law of cause and effect works. Now, it's not your belief doesn't make it work. It's just that you believe that it works. Now, what does it mean that you believe that it works? It means that you're going to put your attention on it. You're going to apply it. I believe that this car runs out here. So you take your key and go out and get in the car and start it, and it runs and it goes. Now, if you say, I believe that the car doesn't run, I tried to start it before and it wouldn't run, and now if I go out there and try to start it now, it won't run either because it just won't run. And quite likely it won't run. Not because of your belief or non-belief, but because the car has some failure about it. Now, what failure does the car have? Now, the car does not need to have a mechanic repair it. The car does not need to have gasoline put in the tank. The car does not need oil. The car does not need anything to run. The car runs and will run and always will run totally free of any of those things, including you. Now you say, that's not very reasonable. Yes, it is. What is the nature of the car?
To run.
To run. The nature of the car is to run. What is the nature of you? Is it the nature of you to be perfect in spirit, mind, and body?
Yes.
Then be it.
Yes.
And the thing is, expect it and reveal it to yourself. But if you expect yourself to be sick, you will put on all the games of being sick. You will reveal being sick, even though that isn't your reality. But you'll reveal it. And you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it all the way. And then you say, but look at the appearances, and look at here, and my goodness, you know. And that's right, my goodness. My goodness. When are you going to stop that? When are you going to stop being an observer and start being a practitioner? An observer is someone who observes things as they appear to be. A practitioner is someone who practices principle. Now, what does the principle say? All exists. Everything is here. And everything belongs to me. That's hard to take. You don't believe that. I say to you, everything belongs to you or me, and you say, oh boy, don't I wish. You see, there you are. You've already said it's not yours. You've already disclaimed it. You've already said, hey, that's the biggest joke I've heard in a long time, you know. And that's what we do to ourselves. Now, did anyone tell you it's not yours? What if you say to a little boy, I'm bringing you a pony this afternoon. Is Dad, if you're bringing me a pony, we better get a stable real quick. We better have a place to keep him. Well, we're going to keep him in the garage. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. That's a nice place for him, but won't that concrete floor be kind of hard on his feet? Yeah, we'll put some straw down. So, but Dad, shouldn't he have, you know, shouldn't it be warmed and so forth and so on? And we're going to have the pony in the garage? And where is the pony going to get the food? Well, we'll have the food brought in. And who's going to ride the pony? That's your pony. And where can I ride him? Anywhere you want. On the street? Well, I wouldn't suggest that. The streets are for cars. And you go on the sidewalk or on people's lawns, you know. Oh boy, Dad, people are going to love me riding on their lawns. That's right, son. People are going to love you riding on their lawns. So, son, you just tell me when you want to go for a ride with a horse, and we will hook up the trailer and put him in the trailer and take him out to the country, and you can go riding, and when you're done riding, we put him back in the trailer and bring him home. Now, it's the same thing as if you had a farm, and the horse would be on the farm, and he could go in the backyard, and he could do things here, and when you want to ride him, then you got to go out off of the farm, so to speak, onto the highway, or you got to go into wherever it's allowed. And if they don't allow horses to go on the highway, the freeway that goes right by your house, then you have to get a wagon and take the horse someplace where you can do it. Now, you're saying, gee, there's too many, you know, difficulties. Look, son, my boy, you're 10 years old, and you're old enough to know this. If you're so damn good and can create a pony in your life, well, create us having a farm. Yeah? Create us having a farm with a lot of land where you can go riding your pony all over the place. The forest and hills and valleys and rivers and all that good stuff. Oh, Dad, Dad, would Dad. Now, don't ask me. It's got to be your dream. It's got to be your desire. Now, if it is your choice, we'll have it. If it is not your choice, we won't have it. And that's, you got the pony now. And you saw how easy that was. You just thought your thought, and you said, Dad, I have a pony. And his name is Prince. And he is a wonderful pony. You know, he's black and white. And really a beautiful pony. Don't see many black and white ponies these days. Mostly brown and white, or brown, or, you know. And but this is a black and white one. Oh, boy, this is right from the Wild West, you know. Trained down into being a wonderful pet for me. Well, where are you going to keep the pony? Oh, Dad, that's your problem. You'd own the land. I own the pony. And then I have to get the pony. Now, you see, and that's a simple illustration that shows how we train ourselves in proper thinking. Now, if you can demonstrate a smile. I am going in the other room where everyone is angry and filled with hatred and anger and unhappiness, and they're going to really kill each other. And I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to say, "Wow, isn't it a wonderful day? Wow, you guys are super. Hey, did you notice what's going on outside? The sun is shining. It's a wonderful day." And they all turn and look at you, stopping what they're doing, and they're saying, "Who is this woman? What's wrong with her? Here we're having a discussion here, and she comes in here with this happiness, and what's she trying to do? Take a look out the window." Be persistent, you know, be consistent. "Take a look out the window. Did you see the rain fall that hard?" "I don't see any rain out there." "No, neither did I, but the sun is nice, isn't it? You know, lady, are you crazy?" And by the time you get done, you know, playing with them, just playing with their minds and sort of battering them back and forth and not being unkind, they forget their argument. They forget their unhappiness. They forget what they were up against. You have changed the whole complexion of that group of people. You who've never changed anybody's complexion in your life, you know. You've always said, "Oh, look at them, they're arguing and they're unhappy and, oh, goodness, you know." And now you said, "Hey, Herb says do it, so I'm going to do it." And so you go and do it. And it's all changed. It's all wonderful. But you see, a practitioner has to be a very, very, very responsible person and take charge of every thought they think. It's not what those people in the other room are thinking of arguing and being unhappy. It's you. You are Miss Happiness or Mr. Happiness, and you walk into the other room and you say, "Hey, you guys, you're wonderful. Did you know that? You're wonderful. Hey, I got some news I want to tell you that is, I got to tell it to you." And they look at you. "All right, already, what is the news?" "I love you. Get out of here." Meanwhile, all of their vituperation, all of their unhappiness, it's gone. It's gone. Now, could you do that with a war? Sure. Could you do that with people who are unhappy with each other? Sure. Could you do that with anything in the world? Yes. Do you do that? Have you done that from time to time? Sure. Have you been fully aware that you did it? Well, sort of, but I didn't want to take credit for it. Take credit for it, I assure you. Take credit. Take credit for all of the putting of the right causes in motion for the right results that you want. Because that's what it's all about. And the day that you can begin to take credit for even applying the principle, if not getting the instant result, but applying the principle. Take credit for applying. I said I want the sun to shine, and it's shining. I said I don't want the rain to fall on me, or I said I want the sun to shine on me with the rain falling all around me, but I want the sun to shine on me, and the sun shines on you. And you say, "Hey, look, everybody, the sun's shining on me. I said I want the sun to shine on me," and shoop, down comes the rain. Because we don't need to prove it to anybody. We don't need to show it to anybody. We just are it. We just are it. Now, in Mr. Candle this morning, one little boy. What was his name? Fritz? No, Fritz the was the yodeler. Who was the boy?
With the one
François.
Leg.
François.
With the one leg. François.
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 François. François had his leg cut off. And that's tough. But what did François do? With the help of Mr. Candle, he began looking at himself and saying, hey, it's my personality that people like. So I have a crutch. I forget that. That's just a way of getting around. If I had a leg, nobody would pay attention to the leg. Why should they pay attention to my crutch? Why should they pay attention to my prosthesis? You know? Why should they pay attention to anything except what I want them to? And so I go out and I show the world how happy I am. And they say, my God, if I didn't have a leg, I'd be unhappy. Well, you got a leg and you're still not unhappy. You know, and you're still not happy. Now, I don't have a leg, but that doesn't bother me. I still get out and run. Well, it's just like Joseph. You know, he lost his leg and he went out and ran track every day and did all these things. You know, why not? He did it because he chose to. And his mendings and healings from operations that he had were dong, 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 just quick like a bird in a bush, you know, with nothing at all about it, just done. Now, what about you? Are you ready to claim the pony and the farm? Or just the pony? You know? But if you claim the farm, claim somebody running the farm with you. Claim somebody running the tractor and somebody mowing the fields and bringing in the hay and doing all the things that have to be done in that way. And when you do that, then magic happens. But don't go out there with a half-baked show. I want a horse, I want a horse, I want a horse. Okay, here's a horse. Well, what am I going to do with my horse in my New York City apartment? Well, that's an interesting question. You have to rent a garage space down below. They won't let me keep a horse in a garage space in this beautiful apartment house here on Madison Avenue. My goodness sakes. Well, it's your choice to have the horse. Yeah, but I... What do you want? What do you want? You know, you can live in New York City, right in the midst of New York City, and there are lots of places where they raise horses, right in the middle of New York City. And you can have your horse, and you can have your riding area, just like they do in Central Park. And you can drive all sorts of things. You see, nothing's impossible unless you're going to think of the impossibilities. Everything is possible when you think of it as already being done. Now, are you ready, really, to be a practitioner? Or are you still a beggar? Are you still a person that walks around with your hand out? I say to you, so long as your hand is out and up, you don't deserve anything. When you're out with your hand out and down, you deserve everything. Because that's the way the Pope does it. The Pope goes out there and he doesn't put his hands up to the people and say, now give me your money. He lets his other people do that. But he puts his hands down and he says, bless you, bless you, bless you all. And who's blessing him? He knows he's God. He knows he's divine. He knows that it's the divinity within him. He knows he has that power. And every person who listens to him feels uplifted because he believes it. He knows it. He lives it. He knows that his word has power. Now, do you have that power?
Okay.
You sure do. Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
You can. When?
Now.
And how quickly does it reveal itself?
No. It's done.
It's already
done. It's already done. How quickly? We become aware, but it's already done. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that we become aware of. It already happened. It's ready for us. Is that Neiman Marcus down in Texas or someplace like that? Perhaps it is. Who sells these gifts to people that things they don't need, and for the man that's got everything. And you know, they sell pink elephants. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, well, put that cause in motion, put that experience in motion for yourself, be your own practitioner, And as your own practitioner, watch the magic and the miracles take place in your life of whatever you choose to think about, it's done. Whatever you choose. Bill Gates thought of an idea, and the idea just evolved and evolved and evolved until he was awake enough to see it was already done. And he merely claimed something that's already done. And he's doing it every day. And so are every other entrepreneur and successful person on the face of the earth or anywhere else. Wonderful. So, my loves, have a wonderful day. And know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.